We'll see. So, just a very quick recap, right? On the whole, we had two main approaches to dealing with Mipi and Vilon Peak Sabam, right? We had the problem of, let's say, always a problem, right? Shtaros are really Derabanan. That's what the Rambam said. Tosos, mostly really Rabbeinu Tam. And the Ri said, no, Mipi and Vilon Peak Sabam is not really a problem. The problem is in very specific cases, if they're made based on the Ksav without quoting the Ksav, or they should have given in the Ksav to Bezdin for Bezdin to see instead of them testifying based on it. But ultimately, it has one aid instead of two aid, but ultimately there's no real problem of Mipin Velo and Pik Saba, right? And therefore the explanation of how does the Shtar work, how do we use Ede Chasim or something like that, is far less problematic. Because ultimately we have it either way, right? We have Edus Bechtav, and Edus Bechtav is totally fine. On the other hand, right, we have the Rambam who says no, right, Edus Bechtav doesn't work, and Mipin Velo and Pik Saba. And the answer to the situation of Edus Bechtav is Midrabanan, right? Shtaros and Midrabanan. That's what the Rambam says. What's the problem? We have tons of Shtaros, which are clearly Daraisa, right? Getting Kiddushin, Shtar Mecher, or to create the Kinyan, all of them are Doraisa. So clearly there's got to be something more going on. Okay, so how do we deal with the problem of Shtaros? So what we had is we saw a few different approaches, some of which overlap, right? So it's not always clear. Some of them are talking more about the solution to sort of categorizing the differences, and some of them are explaining how it works, right? Tosos says basically all Shtaros, all Edus Bechtav works. The Rambam who says otherwise. So Reb Chaim explained, we'll skip before we get to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim is more explaining how it works. Right, we saw the riff. We'll start with the riff right now. Right, the riff says, if it's Yotzi Mitachas Yidei Ha'idim, then we can rely on it as Edus. We can't. Right, then it's basically, it's the testimony of the Edim through their Ksav, that's Mipi Avon Pi Ksavam. If it's Yotze Mitachas Yad Habailim, right, if the Bali Davar are the ones who have it in their hands and they're the one who's presenting it, then we can trust it. Why? Because it's coming from the Bailim. It's already, I could say, a valid shtar, because it's already in the hands of other people. It exists independently. Right? And now it's acceptable. So the question is, right, how does that work? Why does that work? Right? So we can understand technically how they're different, right? How one's, let's say, Mipien Volon Pi Ksavam, because they're trying to testify right now in Bezdin through this Ksav, which they just wrote down, as opposed to something that already is only effective, had to go to the Bailin, had to go through the process of, you know, becoming this binding contract, and then only later can you then use it as proof in Bezdin. So understand, if our problem is that, like, you know, we don't want Mipi Ksavam, but it sounds like Mipi Ksavim is a formal problem, right? It's just not going to be effective. It's not only like, oh, it's just not nice, right? The fact that it's gone through the Bailim shouldn't necessarily make it all better. So we had in Reb Chaim, when he's explaining the Rambam, not the Riff, right? So there's his whole approach to Shtaros, and I think you can apply it here as well, is, right, Shtaros are effective. They create a certain chalos. A get creates Gerushin. Shtar Mecher creates a Kinyan. Because they created that Kinyan, right, which is something tangible and extant in the world, then the effect also allows us to evaluate the Eidos, right? It also serves as proof. While in the case of a Shtar Raya, it only exists to be proving something in Bezdin. And Eidos, it doesn't work that way. Eidos is testimony. You have to go and testify. As opposed to Eidos, like, say, almost Lakiyam Hadavar, which creates the Chalos. So then what Eidos is there doing is it's creating the effect. Now that it's created the effect, there's Eidos, right? It was effective Eidos. It's almost like a different quality of Eidos, but that as a secondary category, property, let's say, can also be used as proof. All right, so basically you can't create proof of Eidos Bixav, but you can create effective Eidos Bechtav. And once you have that effective Eidos Bechtav and it has effected a chalos, then you can also use it as proof. Okay, so the But then Nisibis has a different approach. And I think Ari might like this because Ari was asking questions along these lines. So Nisibis takes an approach that is matching to that line of questioning. Right. So the riff again said, if it's, and this is also riff rivid, right? If it's totally on the Eden, if the Eidos is dependent on the Eden, then it's Mipi Hamvelo Mipi Ksavam. If the Eidos is independent of the Eden, then it's not a Mipi Hamvelo Mipi Ksavam anymore. Okay, so let's look at the Nisibos. Okay. Lachi Mirali, B'das HaRif. The Kavanaso, the In Hagada Shabishtar, Chashiv Hagada, Ukamosha Nechkira, Rak Bimakom Shemisha Roa Hashtar, Yodea Lahaid Mitoch Hashtar, Shazel Lava Mize. Right? What makes a star a star? What makes it Eidos? It's the fact that you can tell from looking at it, right, what it is that has happened. Right? You can derive and really convincingly derive what happened based on just looking at the star and seeing where it is. Oh, it's heavy a star, can echra edu so bebesti. Umishara bestar, may it heavy kemed, raisi edu shenechra bebesti. Avo be makum, the avi mashtar nichtav, umikomako, misheroa bestar, eno yahola hair alamaisa. Lo heavy hagada shabestar, hagada sedus klau. The hashtar, eno made klump. The ap misheroa bestar, eno yodea dain, im nasa klau hamaisa shakasa bestar. For example, once you have a star raya, you don't necessarily know from the star raya that whatever it is happens until, right, it's given over to someone else. Let's say you have the star of kiddushin, right? You don't know that there was kiddushin until it's given over to someone else, right? Because, or let's say a get. What happens with a get? What's the process? You write a get, give it to the Baal. The Baal gives it to his wife, right? And then she's Megurasha. When you see a get, right, it doesn't prove anything. Right, because who says that it was ever given to her? So when is it provable? Is in here? The yesh chiluk between shtar hakna and shtar sharos. The b'shtar hakna da hadinu da filu im nimsa b'shuk yachzir lebaylov. Again, if filu hashtar tachas idei ha'idim heavy kinech reduce from the bed. Oh, when it comes to a shtar kinyan, then it is because we know that the shtar kinyan basically works right away. Once you write it, it basically is effective lamafreya. Dashtar magid b'chol mishero b'tocho shel ploni chayev l'ploni mana afshu bidei edem adayin. The b'shtar hakna lo ba'ina and mati liyadei. The special property of b'shtar hakna is that you don't actually have to give it over to the other party. Right? A bill of sale, once it's written, actually is effective automatically. Okay. I'm just going to skim through the rest of this. So the point is there is that already you have Eidos, right? Once you wrote, it's been written, you know what happened. Masha inkim b'shtar d'lav hakna, d'lohev b'shtar, ad shenim sar liad hal ma'alveh, right? It's only a good star once it gets given over to the ma'alveh, right? Basically, the lobeh, the borrower, writes a star that says, I'm borrowing $100 from Bob, right? He goes and gives it to Bob when Bob gives him the money. Right, mishum hachi kol zman shehu adayin biyad ha'idim lo hevi sadusa klal afilu im ha'idim ra'u ha'halva. Even if the edim see the halva, there's no edus in the shtar until we see it in the hands of the lender. Da kol misha ra'u b'shtar inu yachol lahad mitocho shezet lava lezeh. Da kol zman shalo nimsar liyad el-malve lo hevi shtar. Okay, what's the idea? The idea is that until it's given over to the other guy, it's not a shtar. What makes this a Eidos Bishar and not Eidos Mifiyam Vlo Mipi Ksavam? It's clear from the star itself what the Eidos is. Okay. Vishar Birkat Ha'arif, the low heavy Sadusa Klau Ad Achar Shenimsa V'yad Ha'malveh, the Az Chashav Ha'agad Ha'ashe Bishar Ha'agad, the Achar Shehu B'yad Ha'malveh, Kol Misha Roe Oso B'yad Ha'malveh, Yodeya Shezen Ischayev L'mana. Right? If I see it in the hands of the Malveh, now I can derive from that fact that he owes him a mana. Right? You can't derive that back. Okay, I'm going to skip that. A shtar kiddushin also is only edus once you see it biyada. Right, Below heavy sadusa adshu biyad ha'isha da az heavy egos mamish. Dikisharona so biyad yacholaha ishin skacha. Okay. So what's his first point here? His first one is why is there a difference between idus bechtav and idus bechtav? Why does the Rif say that it matters whether it's biyad the idim or biyad the bailim? Yeah, so what happens is this, that if it's biyad the bailim, we know what happened. If it's biyad the idim, we don't actually know anything happened yet, right? The fact that the idim have such a shtar doesn't prove anything until the idim tell us what happened. Why? Because how do you write a shtar? What happens generally, right? You prepare a shtar and then you give it over when whatever it is happens. So the fact the existence of the shtar is not proof at all. It's only proof in the case where its presence in the hands of the other person, right? Basically, the circumstances create the evidence. It's sort of like it's not circumstantial evidence, it's circumstantial evidence, with a hyphen, right? It's evidence because of the circumstances. So the fact that it's biyad bailim shows that the event must have happened, because otherwise the shtar wouldn't be there, right? As opposed to where if it's written in the shtar, that doesn't prove anything, because the shtar could be, right, being written in preparation for something, right? The idim signed it, they have it, and they'll give it over when they are convinced that whatever it is that they're being made about actually happened. But the existence of the shtar isn't necessarily proof. Okay, so the kunz is then that, right, the mipiyam v'lo mipi ksavam is a problem. Why? Because you don't actually have any edus, right? What do you have? You just have a piece of paper that may or may not tell us anything depending on, right, what the edim tell us or we're supposed to understand from this piece of paper, right? By a shtar, the fact that the other person has it is proof, right? This person wouldn't have it unless X, Y, and Z happened, right? Because you're not allowed to give it over, because you're not allowed to do it, right? The edim aren't allowed to do to sign it and then give it over unless it actually happens, okay? That added element basically takes the edus away from the ksav and puts it into the circumstances surrounding it, right? It basically gives us circumstance evidence as opposed to written evidence. Now, why is that so fascinating? I'll just do a few more lines and then I'll ask that, right? Od nira. The after kaim line edi mesira karti, mikol makom kasha b'edi chasim levad, the edi chasim mitam mesira him korsin, the kesha moser liyada b'edi chasim hevi kimi eden b'shaf mesira al ha-mesira, devi kim maser oz lefneya. Okay, so what's cool about this? It's in terms of, think of the Reb Chaim. Right? What was Reb Chaim's approach to this whole problem? How do we have Edos and Ksav? Right, Reb Chaim's whole approach is to say, you have Eid, yeah, Ari.
When the shtar itself had some sort of chalot, that was considered valid Eidu, but when it was testifying on something else, that wasn't, it didn't work in itself.
Right, and also in terms of like, so where's the emphasis? There, you need that chalot in order to, right, create this, it's a chesoshal edos, there's actual edos that happens, right? And the chiddush of a shtar is that you can actually have edos b'chtav, right? You can have a chesoshal edos, right? The chiddush is that because it's edos kiyum, so you can have edos kiyum b'chesoshal, which then creates edos, that we can also use in Besdin. What's the Nesivo saying? I think he's basically saying the exact opposite. Right, he's making it entirely. Oh, of course, you don't have edus in the piece of paper, right? What do we have? What you have is you have the shtar, right? A shtar kinyan. The shtar kinyan, its practical presence, its circumstances in the hands of this other person, proves, right, b'mitzias, right, as a sort of facts on the ground, as a like circumstantial evidence that it must be that X, Y, and Z happened, right? Because otherwise the shtar wouldn't be here. We're taking the evidence out of the shtar. We're saying it's not that the shtar is a chefta shel eidus. Adrabah. We don't trust pieces of paper. We trust, right, all the people who signed that, the people who are standing over here and signed it, they only would do it, right, and then give it to the Baal, and then the Baal give it to his wife if it already happened, right? Let's say a get. They wouldn't write a sign on a get if the Baal didn't say, write me a get. And the wife wouldn't have the get unless the Baal gave it to her, because the Eidim would only sign on it if they're giving it to the Baal, right? So what happens? I know now, not because of a piece of paper. The piece of paper just sets the circumstances. It just creates a situation in which I know, right, because of external reasons, exactly what happens. In a certain sense, what we're saying is the Eidos is b'shas k'siva. The Eidim are really testifying that the Baal told me to write this. And that they're also testifying that I would only be doing signing on this piece of paper if, you know, the Baal told me to do it, and I gave it straight to him, right? Now it's in her hands. It means that it must have transferred from the Baal's hands to her hands, right? So now I have Eidos over here, and I have a Metzias over here, and I have an Anan Sade, right? Which is like, we testify, you know, sort of an objective Eidos. It's an idea of like, you know, like we're the, you know, like everyone, Kuli Amalo Pligi, everyone understands exactly, you know, Anan Sade, we can testify that this happened, even though we didn't actually see it. Right? That X, Y, and Z happened in the middle. So what we're doing is saying it's not that the Shtar has Eidos, right? What was his line at the end? He had a really good line at the end. Right? His line is that the Eidim, at the end of the day, can say, Kishemosa liyada be'ede chasima, kimi Eidim b'shas misira al ha-misira, devi kim masur az lefneim. It's like they are like walking around with the shtar, right, and sort of confirming the different steps. But why? Because by confirming the first step and us knowing the last step, right, we can sort of extrapolate all the steps in between. But it's so cool because what's it doing? We're saying it's all about practically, how do we know that the shtar is not mezuyav? How do we know that it's a real shtar? How do we know that it's, you know, there's real eidos here? How do we know that all these things happened? So for the nesivos, he says, the eidos is coming from our practical knowledge, right? We know they wrote it because they signed it. These are their signatures. We check their signatures. We ask them, did you sign it? Right? She has it. Now we just have to do some, you know, some objective, you know, mental detective work and figure out how those stages happened in between, right? So ironically, he interprets also the Rambam. He applies this to the Rambam as well. He says, oh, yeah, the Rambam is saying that by Shtar Raya. By Shtar Kinyan, the Rambam thinks that Shtaros work. Why? Because by Shtar Kinyan, right, the whole vort is, it's effective because it's been given over. So that creates a Sanan Sadeh, right, which allows me to extrapolate all these facts. And I know these as objective facts, which is basically like just as good as Eidos, right? Or I have Eidos, which fills in the detail, which I can fill in the details of based on objective facts, right? So how does the shtar work? I think truth is, in, like, I don't know how it works in contemporary law, but I think these are both actually very, like, very interesting, but very different ways to look at a shtar. One is to say, well, we know that whoever, when they signed it, I have these signatures. If they signed it, right, then it has these two people's eidos behind it, right? Or not even their eidos, they signed it, and therefore they've committed to these facts, right? So I have two people who could commit to the truth of this was written, right? Once that's true, or even just their signatures are confirmable. Once that's true, then I can start extrapolating the other details, right? If they're signed on it, then it must be that all this whole agreement really happened. Do I have Eidim and Bezdin who are testifying to the details in this contract? Not necessarily, right? But I can extrapolate it on the basis of their Eidos, right? On the basis of their signatures, I can extrapolate all these details. But who's doing the extrapolation, right? And Bezdin, right? Bezdin's basically extrapolating it. based on their signatures. It's not that the shtar itself is mei at anything. And when and let's say you write edei chasima in a get and you give it over, so you're being somech on the edei chasima in order to be mekadesh or megaresh, right? So says the nesivos, oh yeah, but it's as if those edei chasima are standing there the whole time, because on the basis of their edus, we're extrapolating all these details, right? But again, it's only on the basis of that extrapolation. It's just fascinating that the nesivos thinks that, oh, it's really all about that extrapolation, right? We don't really have edus. We have knowledge based on two witnesses who signed, and therefore we can extrapolate. So it's just a very different, a totally opposite model. It's very based on the practical question of, well, how can we believe them, right? So we have a Shtar Kinyan in the hands of the right person, in and of itself, proves something, right? As opposed to Shtar Raya, where there's just a piece of paper. I don't really know anything, right? It's Shtar Raya says X, Y, and Z happened. Do we know that that was written because X, Y, and Z happened, or because someone was planning to do something and then they gave it over, they didn't give it over? So Midrabanan, we give that authority. But the piece of paper itself doesn't actually prove anything, right? And there's also no address in which the piece of paper actually gives us, there's no appropriate address for Shtar Raya. Okay, or let's say, not necessarily, let's say Shtar Raya, maybe. Right, because it just says something that might have happened, you know, something happened, but we don't know when that happened, how it happened. Did it really happen, or were we planning on it happening? Once you have a shtar in the hands of the Baal Davar, who it's supposed to get to, once everything happens, then I can start backwards extrapolating. And that explains the riff, right? Because the riff really says it all depends on whose hands it's in. Once it's in the right person's hand, then we have real ego. Okay. Right, so let's just look at our chart for one moment. Right, and then using that logic, to the Reb Chaim and the Nesivos over here, their fundamental logic can really be applied not only to the Rambam, right, or to the Rebbe, they can be applied across the board. Just two shitos, I think, who really work well with the Nesivos are Rashi and the Mordechai. We'll go back to the Rashi and the Mordechai from the end of last year. Rashi and the Mordechai. Over here. Yeah. Right. So first the Mordechai. The Mordechai says, "Obsefer chefet tirei the hadika amar mipiyam v'lom piksavam kisheino bechtav yadam v'hi depligi beksivos the amar Rabbi Yochanan afilu eino zochra myrik beksav yado u'lidon ze choel bechasima as Rabbi Yosef nikeret choshu mipiv." Says, what's the difference between Mipien Velom Piksavam and Ksaviyada and Edos of Ashtar? It's really just a question of the clarity, right, and how convinced we are just by what the Ashtar says, independent of external factors, which is essentially what the Nesivos is saying. Although here, I think he's saying it on a much more practical level. And the Mordechai is saying, oh, if it's handwritten, then, and he says X, Y, and Z happened, so why not believe it, right? I look at it and I see it and I say, oh, great, great, right? If it's signed, but it's not so clear and I need the person, if the guy sends me a letter to Beis Din saying, oh, X, Y, and Z happened, so I only know that it's true because I know the guy and I know he sent it, right? But looking at the letter itself doesn't prove anything. If it has signatures or if it's in his own handwriting, right? Or if it's in his own handwriting and it has signatures, says the Mordechai, oh, that's very convincing, right? And as long as I'm convinced, that's Eidos. That's going to work as a legitimate Haggadah Eidos. So this, I think, is just an extreme version of what the approach to Shtaros that the Nesivos is taking, which is interesting because what happens is that in terms of the Svaros, you have, right, Reb Chaim, who's saying you have Eidos, you know, the shtar really is a chefta shel Eidos, right? It's, why is it? How did it become a chefta shel Eidos? Because you created that achalos, like be'edos kiyom hadavar, and therefore you also have now Eidos lebirur hadavar on the basis of that, right? Once you created the Eidos kiyom and you created this chalos, so now you can also use it as proof. According to Nesivos, right? We're saying no. It's just all a question of how convincing and how much we can extrapolate on the basis thereof. The Mordechai takes that to an extreme and basically says, if you write a b'ksav yado and you sign it, then it's never going to be a problem of b'ksavam, because all a question of the clarity and how clear it is that this is of what the details are based on the ksav, right? So the Nesivo says, if it's a shtar, right, and it has the ksivas edim on it, and I can extrapolate what happened, that's going to be a shtar. The Mordechai is saying, everything is fine as long as it's clear and convincing. Now, the Nesivos is obviously more formal. The Nesivos is not only saying that it needs to be convincing, he's saying also that there's actual edos b'shas ksiva. Right? They're testifying that they wrote it. They can't testify on anything that happened afterwards, right? Because how do they know? They're not there. They're not there when it's handed over, so they can't be testifying on they handed over. They can just testify to the beginning of the chain of events. Then we're extrapolating from that their edos approves that all this other stuff happened as well. So the Mordechai is going on two steps further. What's interesting is that the shita of Tosfos, right, the polar opposite of the Rambam, also sort of aligns much better with Reb Chaim Daska, right? Tosfos says you never really have a problem of mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam. Right, edos b'ksav is edos, and then, right, why is it edos? Because it's edos. When do you have a problem with mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam? Very specific cases, right? He thinks you can even send in your edos to Bezdin that way. Now, ironically, right, you would have said, oh, now you're kind of saying this to explain the Rambam, who Dafka says that shtaros are mostly derabanan except for shtar kinyan and getting in kedushin. But what happens is that for Reb Chaim, shtaros are achavta shel edos, right? So the Rambam saying that shtaros are achavta shel edos and shtar raya is not achavta shel edos, and it's therefore because mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam, and therefore it's derabanan. Tosfos just thinks that shtar raya is also achavta shel edos, and even mipiyam v'lo even edos piksav is achavta shel edos, right? So, but on the ironically speaking, the Nesivos, right, is, I guess, could say, would have much more trouble with Tosfos. Right, he's not trying to explain Tosfos, right? He's trying to explain the Rif and the Rambam. But ironically, Reb Chaim, in terms of the Svaras, right, Reb Chaim and Nesivos are like sort of one branch of the tree, and then in parallel, you're going to have the different Shitos and the Rishonim. But how a shtar works, and when you have Mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam as a problem, isn't necessarily going to align. Right? You have the problem of how is a shtar edos, or is this a chesushal edos, or is it an extension of edos? That's a good way to put it, I think, right? The Nesivo says it's an extension of edos. Right? You're extrapolating edos from the edos on the ksiva, and we're extrapolating that to the Nesina. Reb Chaim says that, you know, you've created a chesushal edos, and therefore it's edos all the way through, right? And then in terms of the Rishonim, some of them will say that mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam, you know, is broader or smaller. How do you create a shtar is one question, right? How do you create a despichtav, let's say, is a separate problem, which ironically you could say is always a huge problem or is a tiny problem, but both of those could still say that what you're trying to do is create a despichtav. While you can go the other extreme and say, no, right? It's just really about proving something. So if you're proving something and you have edos at some point, then you have edos and then you have proof. And if the proof is based on the edos, so then you can go do, 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 and like extrapolate back. Okay. Just to sort of fill out the picture, Rashi, I think we have, filling out Rashi is hard. Rashi is very, very difficult. Right? V'lo mipiksavam, ye'izu bebezdin, de'lo dami l'shtar, right? Edos mipihem v'lo mipiksavam doesn't work because they have to be meyed in bezdin. The lo dami l'shtar, right? Edos b'chtav isn't domet l'shtar. Shechasnuhu b'yomo, the hahu urche l'hachi. Right? He says two things, but don't seem to be the same or even connected, right? Chasmuhu b'yomo, the hahu urche l'hachi. Right? You, a shtar, you sign when the actual thing happened, and that's urche b'hachi. That's normal thing. Very, very puzzling, right? What exactly is Rashi saying? So one option is to say that shtar is, you know, let's say he has his own sheet about what a shtar is. A shtar has to be connected to whatever event happened. So it has to be chasmuhu biyomo. Problem is, why is it wasn't even orche b'hachi? Right? Or you could say, right, you could say, oh, urche b'hachi, the whole idea of a shtar is that it's, right, that's just the normal way to do things. There's some sort of purpose involved in writing a shtar. And here you're just, the edim are doing it all by their own volition. There's no urche b'hachi to write edis b'chtav, and therefore it's mipinim lo mipiksavam. Again, sort of falls flat. I think it's, you could argue that the best way to explain Rashi, I think, is like the Nesivos, right? This idea of chasmuhu biyomo, the urcheb lahachi, right? You did it at the time of, right, whenever it is this whole process started, and that's urcheb lahachi, right? That's the normal way of events, and therefore, I think the urcheb lahachi could say, right, based on what happened, well, based on the shtar, I can extrapolate what happened. So it's not just that I'm relying on the shtar objectively as a chefta shel edus, right? What happened biyomo, the edus that they're being made, biyomo of whatever it is, and the fact that this person has the shtar allows me to extrapolate all the steps in between back to their original edus, bishas, biyomo, right, through the urche b'hachi. Right, they're made biyomo, right? Like the Nesiva says, they were made on the ksiva sashtar, and the urche b'hachi allows me to extrapolate backwards to the nesina sashtar and the actual chalot. Okay, just to sum that up, right? So we have So we have a question of, right, what makes something a shtar, and the second question of how does the shtar work? Those aren't, right, we saw those are not necessarily the same. Right, the Rambam says that the difference between a shtar and a not shtar is it a shtar raya versus a shtar kinyan? The Ramban and the Rif and the Ravid said it's the difference between is it a contract of some sort or is it just an affidavit, right? And the Rif says, right, what's so important about an affidavit versus a contract? Contract has to be given over to the parties, and an affidavit is being given to Beis Din. Right? So the Chaim basically explains in general, how does it work? Right? You created this chalos, you've created something that is effective, is binding, and based on that, you can then have edos bechtav, right? Because you've created a cheftashal edos, it's a shtar, it created a chalos. The Nesivo says no, right? It's not that. It's that because these edim are only being made on that we wrote the shtar. Then we can extrapolate what happened based on that edos that they're made, that they wrote the shtar, right? Then we can say, oh, all the details in the shtar and the fact that it's being held by this other party now proves X, Y, and Z happened, right? But that's a second, that's like an extrapolation, a circumstantial extrapolation of the evidence. Now the chiddush is there that still has the status of edos, right? And if it does, oh, because it's based on their edos. It's as if they're standing there the whole time, right? It's sort of like in a logical argument. You have your first principles. Everything you derive that's logically, compelling based on those first principles is really compelling and testified to by those first principles, right? You're right. You went through 100 steps in order to get here, but if it's really follows the rules of logic, then they're 100% based on those principles. And that's what the Nesivos is saying, right? Everything we've derived based on the shtar is 100% based on that edos that the shtar was written by the Baal, right? Let's say, by his own volition, and these edim are testifying to that. What we derive based on that is a direct extrapolation of their edos. So it says the Nesivos that has the status of edos. And it's as if they're virtually standing there when he gives it over, right? Because when we see it in her hands, what do we know now? That he gave it to her. How do we know that? Because of those two edim. So essentially, says the Nesivos, Right? How do you have Eidei Chasima working as Eidei Mesira? They're pop-up Eidim, or they're shadow Eidim, right? Or zombie Eidim. They like follow it around like zombies. Right? These Eidim, basically, they're Eidos, right? Because their Eidos gets to us through the shtar and through the transfer of the shtar, right? It's as if they're following it around the whole time. Which is a fascinating concept, because B'chaim, on the one hand, it's more mechudash, because you think you have a chetesh leidos, right? He has a more demanding standard for conceptually how that works, right? The shtar has to effect the chalos in order to really become a shtar. But on the other hand, once it's done that, how can it work as Eidei Mesira? The answer is, it's a chetesh leidos, right? It's also much more, you know, much more brisker, right? Like chetesh leidos. You can even like hear like the brisker geschmack. Oh, chetesh leidos. Right? The Nesivo says, you know, no, wait a second. Like, practically, how does this work? How can they test? How can we don't, the Eidim never saw that, right? The Eidim never saw the Mesira. How can they be Eidei Mesira if they don't see the Mesira? Right? What do you mean it's a Chefsa Shaleta? How does that give you Eidei Mesira? Eidim are like humans. So he says, oh, no, you have these, you know, you have these shadow Eidim who, you have the Eidos, and everything that we extrapolate based on the Shtar's life is a product of that, you know, of that Eidos. So it's as if the Eidim are really walking around with us. It's not that the Shtar is a Chetesh Leidos. It's that accompanying my Shtar, you know, are these two Eidim who just sort of walk around after it, you know, keep confirming everything that it does. Okay. So that's, I think we're going to end Shir here. And I will hopefully have Makoros out tomorrow. So I'm going to be a little delayed on Makoros. Okay, you know, 1 second. Do I want to
feel better?
Thank you. So I want to do Eidos of Eidos Bishtar versus Eidos Baal Peh or Das Mischaif. Oh, I think we do Das Mischaif. Okay, yeah, so I think we'll either do the differences between Eidos Bishtar and Eidos Baal Peh. Right. What's the difference? We saw the Nesivos and the B'chaim, right? But what's the difference? Is there a qualitative difference? Does it have differences? We might get into that a little bit. Maybe we'll do that by Galacha. And then the other question is, Das Mischaif, right? In order to create a shtar, you need the imprimatur of the Bailin. So does that make it a shtar? Is that like a necessary? Is that like actually the Rav? Spoiler, the Rav thinks that like the Das Mischaif is like a huge factor in creating this concept of a shtar. So we'll do stuff like that next time. So I'll hopefully send out Makoros tomorrow.
Is there going to be Shira on Wednesday?
I think so, yeah. Right?
Okay.
Should be Shira on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Tani, that's there. It's going to be Megillah reading for you.
Taka.
Well, not quite Megillah reading, but near there.
Taka. Maybe I should get something on Purim, about Purim, though. Maybe I'll give a shiur on Purim. I'm going to be like short. I'll do short. And then, right, Wednesdays.